know and drivers can't steal from us. And Bob Powerland went through the fence looking for some friends. Got some scrams, so we brought it back again, cause I'm a Bob Powerland. Bob Powerland. You got to follow where he's going, gotta take him in the promised land. Bob Powerland.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Pastor Buddy coming in here tonight with you live and direct on the Transmitting Jordan Sound. WRP 3.185 third channel around the world tonight and digital embedding on the internet. Also, simulcasting for you through our website, OneYahweh.com. Glad to have you aboard. Brand new series. If you enjoy tonight, got a great one for you. The time and the seasons of the Sabbath. We're going to get right into it. We're going to do probably a lengthy teaching on this. We think it's neat for every once in a while we come back to the Sabbath and we teach the divine principles. We think it's very important for you to recognize that. Very few people do. Most people are just basically interested in making money. They think that's all there is in the world, to get rich and get ahead. You know, your health is the most important thing that you've got. Doesn't matter how much money you've got if you don't have your health. And your soul. What are you going to give in exchange? Do you think you can trade in gold and silver for your soul? I don't think so. So then, we're not after the material things of the world. We're not to pursue them. We're not to lust for them. And we're not to envy those that's got it. You know, so be it. If you have it and you're blessed with it, praise Yahweh. Use it for His glory. I know some people that do, and I know some people that don't. I know a lot of people that don't. I know some people that do. So, I'm thankful tonight to be in your homes or your radios or where your shortwave is transmitting or on your computer downloads off directly to the internet worldwide. WWRB outreach is massive. We go around the world. We go into Russia. We go into, the Congo for all that good purpose. We go into China. We go into Belgium, England, France, Britain, Germany, Denmark, Greenland. Oh, man, we travel around through the magic connection of worldwide internet along with the ability to transmit on shortwave. So, we're glad to have you. Now, Webster's Dictionary gives as the second definition of a conjunction. Now, what is a conjunction? Are we going to, for you that practice the moon, you know it's a very complex and if you don't study in it, you're not gonna learn. And the Bible said to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, that's what's required. Now, there was a certain tribe. You say, well, those people back then, they certainly didn't have the knowledge that we got. You may be surprised. Did you know that there were astronomy bases in times that went back to the times of the pyramid? And that these ancients were right on, when they built the pyramids, they was on correct due north. Not magnetic north, true north. This is how accurate these people were. They had the ability to know the heavens. They knew more about it than we know today. Well, maybe your government knows more than you do, and I'm sure that it does, and I believe that they're keeping a lot of things from you deliberately so that you wouldn't learn the truth. And it's very important for you to know the truth, because that's the only thing that's going to free you from the slavery and bondage of deception and deceivers that have entered the land. Did you know? Let me give you a fact here. And this can be proven in any encyclopedia, that the world, talking about those in charge, from, let's say, about 2 or 3 B.C., as far back then, because we had a different, we programmed a new set of rules around about then, I think it's 2 B.C., to be accurate, and until the 1500s, around 1560-70, when Pope Gregory changed the calendar and it updated. And since then, we haven't had a change in the calendar. Now, the change was significant. And you Seventh-day Adventists better listen up. Something got changed on you. Did you know from 2 B.C. approximately until the late 1500s that they only counted 360 days a year? They didn't count 365 and a quarter, so time is off. The year that they measure from Christ, like A.D. to B.C., before Christ and after Christ, A.D., after his death, there was a difference in timekeeping. Now, the calendar, the Roman Catholic calendar, I'm going to repeat that, the Roman Catholic calendar, they changed things appropriately for their benefit. They didn't change it for you. They changed it for their benefit. And the Seventh-day Adventists, man, they jumped the Catholic. Why did you all change the calendar from the original Saturday Sabbath? Now, how in the hell, or high waters, or anything else that you could throw in the mix here for verbiage that would wake you up. How can they determine through scientific instrumentation, how can you go back to the very beginning and determine that the seventh day was on a Saturn day? Now, you tell me that. Now, Seventh-day Adventists will criticize the Catholic Church from changing the Saturday Sabbath to the first day of the week, which would be Sunday. Man, they'll just berate them for all it's out. And then they themselves cannot, neither can the Catholic Church or anyone else, prove. If we go back to the beginning of time, we don't even know when the beginning of time started. We have no way of knowing. We have no way of knowing that Saturday was the day that God, the Creator, Yahweh, as we call Him, rested on Saturday. Matter of fact, the opposite teaching is true. He rested on the eighth day. Now, I repeat, He rested on the eighth day, and it is provable by this prophet, or this preacher, or this teacher, whatever you want to call me. Most call me a devil. That's okay with me. Go ahead and rant and rave. And the people rage and imagine a vain thing. You can go back and believe that Saturday is the Sabbath. That is the biggest lie that the devil ever convinced you without any proof whatsoever.
What do you say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's Saturday. Glory to God.
According to who? Your Catholic Church. Brought to you courtesy of the greatest deceptive movement in the earth. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Brought to you this deception that the Seventh-day Adventists, and I'm not just picking on you Seventh-day, it's very easy for me to, that's why I'm talking about the Seventh-day people that promote Saturday is the seventh day. Never was. Until it cycled through the application of true time, and true time was kept in the biblical proportions of it, entirely different from the Roman Catholic calendar. The Roman Catholic calendar, which determined that Saturday was the seventh day, and you know, like the snakes that they are, they said, yeah, we acknowledge we changed it from Saturday to Sunday. We've got that power. And boy, the Seventh-day Adventist people and anybody else that believes that Saturday is the Sabbath, boy, they really take them to task. In astronomy, the median, or the definition of conjunction. Now, what is these measurements of time in conjunctional median of the planets in the heaven? Why are they designed like that? Who designed them? And for what purpose? And could the ancients tell when those conjunctions were? And the answer is an amazing and astounding yes, they could. Now, let me show you something what the Bible says. It says that there was a specific tribe that was especially gifted in the 12 tribes. And those who were from the tribe of Issachar. Now, these gifts come down from above. They didn't come from below. These gifts, and we're talking about the nine gifts and the five signs that follow the believer. You were born from above, not from below. You ain't born again. That's a mistranslation from the Greek. These things were given, especially the signs of times and the meeting of two or more stars or planets in the same degree of the zodiac. Oh, there's that word, zodiac, Pastor Buddy. You don't believe in the zodiac, do you? When Job believed in it, Yahweh believed in it. It's mentioned in the Bible, but only by the Catholic Church, who banned the looking into the stars in heaven, because they didn't want you to discover anything that would lead to the revelation and pull the cover off of their deception. And so they took full credit, and you know, the Seventh-day Adventists jumped out of the frying pan and got in the fire.
Well, see, you acknowledge that Saturday was the Sabbath.
And so they built a relationship after the Millerites prophesied that the world was going to end in 1844, and it didn't happen. They disbanded, of course, broken and humiliated and humbled, and then they formed a new doctrine. Well, wait a minute. Now we know why that it didn't end in 1844. We've been keeping the wrong Sabbath. And so they formed the Seventh-day Adventist Church based upon Saturday being the Sabbath day. Now listen to this. The conjunction and of the moon and the sun will always be recognized, or with the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. The moon has no light. Moonlight is really sunlight and its reflection from the surface of the moon. Sometimes you can see the whole lighted side of the moon, like a shining disc, full. We call it full dress in its phase of full. Now, it just happens to be, at other times, you can see only a part of the lighted side. Now, this is amazing how this is designed. And the more you get into lunar Sabbath study, you'll see a divine wisdom. Not man. Not Pope Gregory. Not the Seventh-day Adventist, who base everything.
Well, the church kept Saturday, and they know God wrote the Bible for them, and they know what day
the Sabbath comes. That's the biggest bunch, if you will, of deceivers and deceptors on the planet. They've got your sympathy and cause you to believe that they're God's chosen people, when in truth, Yahweh identified them as children of the devil, not children of Yahweh. So the deception of jumping out of the frying pan, getting in the fire, and say, well, the Jews keep Saturday, and that's the one I'm keeping, glory to God, they know. Now, they kept it faithfully. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever heard of a house of Israel was 13 tribes? And people have narrowed it down to Jew and Gentile, that the Gentiles are dumb and the Jews are smart. The Jews don't call on a risen Savior. Is that smart? If you won't confess that, you've got to be an Antichrist. Well, what are those people that won't confess a risen Savior?
Now, let me say, golly, it must be the Gentiles.
Well, the Gentiles, where the word is mistakenly translated from ethnos, or race, not races, go to the race that's scattered among the Gentiles. What race would that be?
Well, that'd be the Jews.
No, it wouldn't. The tribe of Judah, where the word Jew is, if you will, a slang word, basically, because the Bible and the translators have put Jew in. What were they before the 2 Kings 16:6? Where it's the first time the word Jew is mentioned. You see, we've been hoodwinked. And preachers that preach the truth are looked on as racist and antichrist and anti-Semitic. When we're telling the truth, and especially about the Sabbath, it ruffles the feathers. Because, you see, the Christian church, most of them keep Sunday. The Seventh-day Adventist church, or churches that address the Saturday or Saturday as the seventh day, they follow the lead of those who claim to be Jews, who keep it now in Israel on Friday night until Saturday night. That's the seventh day, they say, and that's how they keep it, because that's when God told them to keep it. Brought to them. I mean, they ain't got no calendar that says they've proved it. Who do they believe? They believe the Catholic Church, which is one of the biggest lying, demonic, and if you're Catholic, please don't take offense at this. Catholics, at least, have got pretty thick skin. They're not like some of these other thin-skinned Christians that, you know, you say anything against their faith, and they cut you off on the radio. Catholics are at least open-minded. I don't mean they're right. I don't mean they're going to change, because it's hard to change somebody from the Catholic Church, although they can be changed. I know. I've known several people that come out of the Catholic Church. I know several people, including myself, that came out of the Baptist Church. It's not impossible to save these people. It's not impossible to enlighten these people. If you have a will in mind, that's acceptable, and Yahweh will send preachers and teachers and prophets and prophetists and things of this nature to enlighten you, to bring light to you, just like it's brought in the effects of the moon. So the shape is no longer a disc when we have only a part of the lighted side, like in first quarter. And when it comes to second quarter, that's mean that the whole moon is lighted. And then we have what we call the third quarter and the final quarter. So these quarters and the different shapes are called phases. The phases occur because the moon orbits the earth. It's at the side facing us, where it gets no sunlight, that we cannot see the moon, then the phase then is called a new moon. when you see first crescent light, it's no longer a new moon. The new moon is over. As long as the moon is dark, it's a new moon. Now, there is a point astrologically or astronomically that can be proven, and that's the argument here. I'm teaching on whether it's first light or whether it's on the conjunction. Which one would you take? Now, light varies. Time varies. In one place, it could be seen later. At another place, it could be seen earlier. And so it's erratic. But there is a conjunction that can be identified any place in the earth at that particular time when this phenomenon of the same degree of the zodiac is at the conjunction of the moon and the sun. It's marvelous. You say, well, I don't think anybody's got the ability to do that. It said that the sons of Issachar were gifted and noted in the signs of the heavens. We're talking about the original tribe. Are they still Issacharians around? Well, of course there is. Descendants of the 12 tribes. Well, have they lost their gifts? We're not born from below. We're born from above with these gifts. And they're handed down from generation to generation, and we get these gifts from above. We're born with them, these instincts. And I can recognize someone from the tribe of Issachar very easy. It is real easy if you stay around them long enough. They're always wanting to figure. Now, figures don't lie, but liars figure. Issachar is not one of those that would lie to you if they're true blue. Now, what do you do here? Well, you mark in Scripture, and you can keep the Sabbath day, and you can sanctify it as Yahweh commanded in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. He did not make one, yet he had the residue of the Spirit, and therefore one that he might seek a good seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For Yahweh, the Almighty of Israel, saith that he hateth those putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith Yahweh of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously, as it's written in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. As you can see, although the Hebrew word shamar can be meant to visually watch for something, it's evident that it does not have to mean to watch for the heavens when you're watching for those who would take heed or not take heed to the Spirit, and they would deal treacherously. You're known by your fruits. Well, Sabbath is one of the commandments required that you don't need to visualize. You should know it in your heart. Well, now, I know it, sir. I look on the calendar here and it says Saturday is the seventh day. So God told me to worship the seventh day and to keep the Sabbath and rest. You see, that's why it's deceived so many people. That's visually looking up on a calendar and seeing that it's Saturday. And like I say, not one shred of evidence to go back in time, as time has been changed, time has been altered, the calendar has been modified many times. And then I hear these people try to defend it and say, well, it doesn't matter, it came out just right after they did change and alter, but it come right back. It was a miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, how can the measurement of time, which was always 365 and a quarter, when people began to address it as 360 because it was easy to divide 12 times 12, and the fines. When you go back and put the quarters in, it absolutely, with the dark of the moon, measures correctly through conjunctional basis, not through light. What you see and what you get all the time, because you could get a variant different reading, and the moon has no light in it. It's the sunlight, and the way it's degreed and shaped, it gives off a distinct quarter system to full, and then from the one half at the second stage of it, it begins to be dark on the right side of the moon. That's when it's waning. Now, waxing is one thing, and waning is another. Now, if you was to go strictly on light, it could vary. And you would need somebody at the point of the measurement point, artificial measurement point, and most people do this by deception when they go back and say, oh, I saw the crescent moon. Some of these sacred name people are bad for this. They believe that the Jews are God's own people. They go back and say, oh, I saw the crescent in Jerusalem at 7:56 p.m. or a.m. or whatever time it was. And so they mark that. And then they watch in their time zones for an appointed time where they can begin the Sabbath or they can end it, whatever the case may be. And yet there is a natural phenomenon known as conjunction equals precise all the way around the world. Once it conjuncts universally around the world at the same time. So then, Yahweh is not a, well, in this time zone, it's this time, and I saw it because it wasn't cloudy here. Well, we didn't see it here because it was cloudy. And I look at some of that confusion. That's Babylon. That is really Babylon. Knowledge. The knowledge. You're destroyed for the what? For the lack of it. But we don't accept, we'll accept those who see it in Jerusalem and take their word for it without any astrological notification. There's nothing in the heavens to determine that that certain individual saw it at 7:56 p.m. in Jerusalem. There's nothing that says you should mark the moon when you see it in Jerusalem. Nothing. Not one thing. And yet they do it and accept it. But when you complicate it and say, well, I don't know when the conjunction is, it's astrologically attained, and it was attained in the ancient days through the tribe of Issachar. They were gifted in measuring time in the heavens, and so was the unbelievers. For instance, if you go back to the kingdom of Babylon, they had a measurement system, but it wasn't based on scientific measurements of the conjunction. It was following the light specter, and that's false. And I used to keep it with the light. You wait for the first crescent, you see the light, and you say, okay, now, when I see first crescent, that means I go to work. You could be keeping that if the conjunction is not agreeing with you. You could be keeping the Sabbath in the same week of Sabbath that you have just got through observing. You got to keep it after the conjunction to begin a new conjunctional renewal of the light in the heaven, sun and moon. So it's a lunar Sabbath connection. Now, let me show you something. If a commentary given by the authors of the New Book of Knowledge, I'm quoting from this now, is an explanation of what I will term in this booklet a conjunction. Be on Yahweh's time one day, as for now, let us take the scripture for which it has been given and determine what method is the most accurate. Most fellow believers, I have personally, I used to be myself, I come into contact over the years of studying Yahweh's calendar, is an advocate of visual sighting of a crescent moon. Now, they're big in that because it gives them something to do. I've seen it myself at a point. But that point cannot be visible at your point. Let's say your point is point C. It's visible in point A and B, not visible in C. And it's visible in E, and the whole spectrum goes around the cycle, and some can see it and some don't. Some's confused. That's Babylon. You see what I mean? That's starting varying watchers, and that don't synchronize. The synchronicity has to be observed, and it has to be proper. The scripture way of determining exactly when a new moon takes place, usually the first verse 1 year's when presented with that argument that they use, is Deuteronomy 16:1. This verse is as follows. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto Yahweh the Almighty, for in the month of Abib, Yahweh the Almighty brought you out of Egypt by night. The reasoning behind this passage is that the word translated as month in this passage is taken from the Hebrew word Kodesh. The exact time, or the exact word, this time, that is translated as a new moon in various passages throughout the Holy Scripture. Seeing that the Kodesh can be translated as new moon, and the passage states very emphatically to observe, or to their interpretation now, if that word only means to visually watch for a particular object, I believe that their argument would definitely be solid. However, if the Hebrew word translated as observe does not have to or always means to visually watch for something, the claim that became faulty, being that it is not conclusive, so that the Hebrew word here translated as observe. Now, in Hebrew 81:04, which is shema or shamar, the primitive root properly to hedge about, as with thorns, that is guard, generally to protect, to attend to, beware, be circumspect, take heed to self, to keep, to mark, to look narrowly, as closely observe, regard, reserve, save yourself, sure, wait, and watch. Notice the primary definitions for the word shamar are to hedge about, to guard, to protect, and to attend to. Obviously, it gives us a different outlook or what observers or is to be observed just may mean in regards to Deuteronomy passage of 16:1, unless the passage explicitly states that one must visually see the light of the moon, and it don't, in order for it to be of a surety for a new moon. We are left to believe that the passage is stating something else. In fact, when we read the passage through just in the first part, we can see exactly what is being commanded. Israel is commanded to guard or to protect the new moon or month of Abib as the starting in the religious ceremonies, seeing that this is when the feast of Passover of unleavened bread is kept, which commemorates a great deliverance before the people of Israel. There is nothing certain in this passage that teaches that visual observation must be observed in determining the factor for the new moon. The new moon of Abib can be guarded, protected, and attended to without visually sighting a crescent moon by taking the astrological route of those who were gifted to look into the heavens. Just a certain amount of people. And we know that they had watchers on the wall. Not to look at this as a visual sighting, but to set the dates of the astrological events in heavens and the passing of the conjunctions of the heavens to set the dates in correct synchronicity and uniformity. I believe it would be helpful if I would give you other passages in Scripture which use the word Shema, but not to indicate that we must or visually look for a certain thing. The embodied word here, and the verses is taken from the Hebrew word again, Shema. And Yahweh Almighty took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And that's written in Genesis 2:15. Now notice. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in the day that you see my face, you will die. Exodus 10:28. Now notice this. You shall keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of the abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that journeys among you. Leviticus 18:26. Command the children of Israel and say unto them, My offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me, you shall observe to offer it unto me in their due season. Numbers 28:2. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as Yahweh, the Almighty, hath commanded you in Deuteronomy 5:12 that we just read when we opened the program. And did he not make one? And yet the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously. Let not your spirit deal treacherously. Now, those who have set this treacherous, slippery path of visual sighting, knowing that there's flaws stuck out all over it, but in the consolations and the conjunctions, there is no guesswork. It's accurate. So if you will keep beginning after, not before, because if you begin before, you're keeping it in the old Sabbath. And first thing you know, you're going to be like the Catholic calendar that counted only 360 days instead of 365. And slowly over time, it began to be added up into lost years. And in 1580, Pope Gregory realized this error and tried to render it and catch up time that was lost by designing a new way and a new method. And so how they do this is it's very ingenious how that the Catholic Church, the seers and the watchers and the astronomers, how they come together to figure out this amazing calendar. Now, we've got the solar people that can come as close as one day. The Catholic Church come as close by figuring out a set of principles. If this law comes, this law takes effect. If this law didn't come, or this visual didn't come, then we do it here and do it there. That's Babylon. Now we've got a lot of Babylon worshipers that are visually trying, and now we're talking about those who would observe the lunar, as opposed to those who are keeping the Gregorian calendar, but it's the same way. See, it's the same error that was committed by them is now being committed by certain sacred name groups of visual sighting. It's not to be. It can't be that way, to be accurate. It can be accurate one day or one week, and the next week it could be completely off. As you can see, the Hebrew word shamar can mean to be visually, to watch for something, and it's evident it does not have to mean this, as I've already stated. So there is no statement whatsoever in all the scriptures that the moon's luminary had to be actually viewed by a man before he could be officially designated as the beginning of a month. That was a lot of responsibility. And if it's not by a conjunctional basis, it could vary. You see that? It's very simple. Now, to use the argument, and it's a just argument, and it appeals to the mind that don't really know how gifted from those born from above with these gifts. Yahweh specifically give these gifts to the sons of Issachar to know these conjunctional phases and that they could measure time more accurately, because we know that. We know it by the conjunctional basis of the equinox and how they kept it and how they marked it and how they concluded. It's no lie. When that sun, which is a very atomic accurate predictor, the moon is erratic, but the sun is a accurate predictor. Now, when you look at the phases as the sun rotates, or as the moon rotates around the sun, and we see its phases, we cannot determine that in accurate synchronicity by observing it in visual form, or the talent that visual people have. Sometimes your eyes will fail you. And really, the hand is more accurate or quicker than the eye anyway. You could be watching something and it could pass in front of you and you never see it. If you can't see it, you can't mark it. So the ancients did not use visual sighting, as we've been led to believe by the Jews. They used the conjunctional basis to determine the times and the season. And it's so accurate, only Yahweh, it's only Yahweh knew how to do this. It's amazing. I tell you, I've studied for over 30 years, and it's amazing to me how that these things can be so. Hebrews number 23:20 is Kodesh from Hebrew 23:18, the new moon, by implication, a month. So we gotta divide the Sabbath into a month. And you can't have a Sabbath until you work 6 days. Not seven, not eight, not nine, but six. And it has to be in a continuous cycle, and there's no way that you can go in a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 continuous cycle and stay on the phases. It's going to vary. You've got to watch. You've got to pray. You've got to observe the conjunctions. And then you set your time accurately by these things, which should be able to discern that when an old moon ends, a new moon begins. You gotta know when that happens. And Yahweh knew that, so He astrologically gave those who are gifted to know the times and the seasons, to watch for the conjunctions so that you wouldn't get mixed up and keep the old Sabbath in the Sabbath. You would keep what you think would be a new Sabbath coming up, and you keep it in the old conjunction realm of the 6 days. You would be keeping the wrong Sabbath. And that's what Yahweh knew, and that's the confusion of those who use the moon and a visual crescent sighting like the Babylonian. It's Babylonian. And of course, the Antichrist picked that up. And there is, and now, in the sense that they have determined that their Abib, or their Passover, is directly related to the principle of the Gregorian calendar, the Catholic calendar, which if this happens, this happens, and so they wait and take this into consideration, and it is all Babylonian confusion. I hate to say that, because there's so many people that's locked into Babylonian systems that are deceived, when Yahweh left a very accurate, system that would synchronize in the conjunction. And the ideal that it's not, they wouldn't have had that knowledge, is to deny some of the most accurate buildings, some of the most accurate predictions in the heavens. How did the wise men know that the Christ, the Anointed One, was going to be born and where He was going to be born? How did they read that? How did they determine that? Was it the ancient sons of Issachar who knew how? Who had already been, long before Christ was born, as a matter of fact, in 721 B.C., the tribe of Issachar was scattered throughout the nations. Was it some of these Issacharians who were gifted from above, not from below, but from above, to know these signs and come back into the place where they had left? They traveled from the east. They came in, and they revealed to the blind Jews, and they wouldn't believe it, there was only a remnant. Now listen to me. 721 B.C. and 586 B.C., both houses were moved out. But a remnant for a seed, for a new beginning, for Christ to come back to the place where He begun to bring the children into the original land, and He was rejected. He come to bring light to those that sat in darkness. What kind of light? Conjunctional light? Or visual light? Well, we'd have to say it would be conjunctional, because the wise men knew the conjunctions. They knew at what point to read and what sign from the heavens in the zodiac, and they were considered wise men. Today, you are told that those who use those principles are demonic. See, they've taken us from the good and called it bad. Now they're letting us use the bad, and they call it good. Just reverse. Now, listen to this. Little is known of the procedure of determining the calendar up to the 2nd century, as I've already told you. When a description is given of the traditional practice, it ran as follows. On the 30th day of the month, a council would meet to receive the testimony of the witnesses that they had seen the new moon. If two trustworthy witnesses had made the disposition to the effect of that day, the council proclaimed a new moon to begin on that day. If no witnesses appeared, the new moon was considered as the beginning on the day following the 30th. You see that confusion? I find it interesting, don't you, that what often goes overlooked by our visualization brothers only is that the reference work tells us that little is known concerning just how ancient Israel determined the calendar up to the 2nd century of A.D., which is the common era. Therefore, why are they basing these statements on? And what are they basing them on? And why are they basing them? It's very easy to say that Israel would wait for the witness who had seen the moon, see? And it could vary. The witness could vary. And then they put it off till the next day, if they're in doubt. When in doubt, just wait. Well, there's no doubt in the conjunctions. It's evident, and it's already been determined through the synchronicity of the wisdom of Yahweh how this works. It's amazing. Now, I got to close. My time is just about coming on, and I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight before I get off the air, and to give you a manifestation of what we talked about and set the agenda for Monday night. I'll see you Monday night. Around the world on WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel. I'll see you Monday night at 9 o'clock, Yahweh willing, and the creek don't rise. We know that the sun and the moon will rise because as long as Israel, or as long as there's a sun and a moon, there's going to be an Israel. So don't worry, the moon ain't going to fall out of heaven, and the sun ain't going to quit shining. And so we'll know the visual conjunctional times. You say, well, the time will come when the sun won't shine. That could be spiritual. That the world has turned to darkness and to pagan practices and deceitful Babylonian ideals of crescents or visible observation, meaning that man would do the determining when the Sabbath starts. Yahweh determines it. In the heavens, it's direct. Yahweh mastered this precision. It's not off any. It's always a conjunctional basis of the appointed time. And if you keep that and observe it, then you'll notice that the Sabbaths are collectively and right on through the phases as it goes through. Now, it's a marvelous piece of work. And as we go on into this, I like to do several parts and give you a complete reckoning and reasoning with this ideal of lunar Sabbath versus Saturday or Sunday or solar people. We got the solar-only people, and, you know, I'd like to debate them. Most of them won't. They won't join in a debate, but I'd like to debate them on this message or sometime in the future when we have time, when we can debate this, and I would love to debate the Seventh-day Adventists who would dare to come on and debate it, or the Sunday people. And we look back in history and examine the evidence of time as had manifested itself. But in the celestial heavens, in the times chosen and set by Yahweh, there's no lie. The conjunctional basis will determine it. And the synchronicity and the proof is in the heaven on conjunctional basis, not visualization. You can be off. And that's the key to it. So, you're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight, and I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey of the great state of Mississippi. That's the rebel state. Praise Yahweh. They still call their colleges down there Ole Miss, the Rebs. I like it. Not because I favor the Confederate flag, which I do, but not based on that. Just like I favor the conjunction. And I don't have anything against those who try to attempt to visually set it. You're doing your best. But I have been in this. I'm an old rat in the mill. I've looked into the heavens many years. I've got two telescopes. Not that you need it, but I've got two. And then I've got the U.S. Naval Observatory. And then I've got the ancient crude, but it's amazing. Like Stonehenge. It was nothing but an observatory, and it marked the spring equinox. They was very keen and observant on the marking of the equinox. They knew exactly when in the conjunctional basis when time began in a new season. Today, I mean the Roman calendar, which is Babylon from beginning to end. And people say, well, today's Saturday. I looked on the calendar. Glory to God. And that's the Sabbath day. And that's the day I'm going to keep. Glory to God. And that's it. They won't study. They won't pray. They won't fast. They won't change. You couldn't change. You can take dynamite and blow them out of, what's that lady's name that was such a prophetess? Was it Ellen White? Yeah, Ellen White. Okay, Ellen White. And I have nothing to say against her, except some of her prophecies have been proven wrong. Just like Miller, and just like Rutherford, and all these other false prophets that predicted the end of the world, or a visualization of times and seasons, all that's been proven wrong. Just look back into your history. That's all you got to cite. And I know the history. I've been there. I've read it. I've got books that determine it, and it's actual and factual. Be you also persuaded in your mind, your pure mind, to walk in and to walk up. Sponsored by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey. I thank them for sponsors tonight on the message.
We have got to secure our borders.
Uh-oh.
And we're here today to stand with Arizona.
Oh, my. Call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. I'll see you around the world on Monday night. Yahweh bless you, and I love you, and keep the Sabbath, and keep it holy, and keep it under conjunction, and I hope you'll be right. Yahweh bless you. I salute you, Arizona. I salute your stand. I'm proud of you. I've never been so proud of a state here since the Tennesseans marched out to Texas and preserved in defense of those who claim and kill many of our brothers that went down there to defend its borders. Bless God, I'm proud of Arizona. If you're listening to that anywhere in Arizona, this song's for you. If you're listening to America, make it your theme song for the state.